Our news, as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Tuesday, August 31, 2021. I'm your presenter, Hassan Robinson. Here are the headlines. United Workers Party Glenroy Coffey claims the alleged EC $18 million owned to Rubis Oil Company by the DLP government raises grave concerns about its management of state-controlled Venezuelan Petrocaribe Oil Company. And St. Kitts and Nevis may be the first country amongst CARICOM states to make COVID-19 vaccine mandatory. And Foreign Office Minister James Cleverly says 10 members of one family were killed following a U.S. drone strike in Kabul, and the U.N. says it will ask the Taliban to ensure safe passage for Afghans trying to leave. The news is brought to you for the very kind compliments of Digicel. The details of these stories and more coming up next.
Wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
It's back to school season,
so get ready to go full speed ahead with the fastest internet in Dominica. Sign up for Digicel Plus Fiber and enjoy the fastest speeds for all your back to school needs. Get internet speeds you can count on only with Digicel Plus.
Contact us on
616-6999 on BIP app or call 616-1700. Digicel Plus, better together. Life is better with a Digicel Prime plan. Turn on your data to stay connected and entertained on the go. Don't stress about Wi-Fi access. Just enjoy more movies on Playgo, more sports on Sportsmax, more radio on Go Loud, and more music on D-Music. No surprise charges, only entertainment. Get a one-day Prime starter data plan for only $3 in the My Digicel app. Digicel, better together.
And welcome back. Dominica Ministry of Health reveals that Dominica has now confirmed the presence of the Delta variant on its shores. This was revealed by the Minister of Health, Dr. Irvin McIntyre, at last evening's Health COVID-19 update. He says the new variant is more aggressive and the virus attacks the lungs quicker in time.
That we finally receive confirmation from CAFA that we do have the Delta variant in Dominica. All our samples sent to CAFA, which was subsequently sent to the University of the West Indies for sequencing, returned positive for the Delta variant. This particular variant really has no cough and fever, rather joint pain, headache, neck and upper back pain, general weakness, loss of appetite, and pneumonia. The Delta variant is also more virulent and takes less time to become extreme, leading to a higher death rate. This is because the Delta variant does not remain in the nasal cavity for a long period of time, but quickly settles down to the lungs, leading to pneumonia, and in some cases, eventually leading to death.
He then went on to encourage persons to get vaccinated, as vaccines will be given to 12-year-olds in the future as well.
Having said this, it is of paramount importance that we all must participate in the vaccination relaunch and rollout of the Pfizer vaccine. This program will be headed by Dr. Kivian Burnett with assistance from EPI manager, Nurse Florestan Lewis, with a team of dedicated logistical health educators and data entry clerk personnel. We have had numerous consultations with the Ministry of Education since Pfizer vaccine will be available to persons within the age group of 12 to 17 years as well. We are developing new strategies to get to the target population to include the corporate sector, public service, schools, and the wider community. We have on island enough vaccine doses to achieve herd immunity. Sinopharm, 13,943, AstraZeneca, 10,000, and soon to come, Pfizer, 46,800. Vaccination is not only a Ministry of Health or government activity. The government has made vaccines available at no cost to the people of this country. We have to be responsible for ourselves. We not only decrease transmission, but to protect the vulnerable and elderly at home. We have seen that the unvaccinated are most at risk of death and we must take heed. Vaccination must also be seen as the action which you and I can take to ensure economic activity and protect our livelihoods.
And that was the Minister of Health, Dr. Irvin McIntyre. And referencing the recent debt that is said to be owing to Rubis Oil Company in Dominica by the DLP government, United Workers Party member Glenn Rykoffi claims that the amount owed is easily $80 million, and the company's management have formally publicly revealed its numerous attempts to communicate with government personnel to resolve the outstanding debt. Coffey said he wonders what is the amount owed to another petroleum company that is publicly known as Petrocaribe.
When you hear Mr. Scary talk, you swear, you know, that everything is okay. You know, these guys are owing Rubis $18 million. Rubis have been making a considerable deal. Management has been making an effort to communicate with those guys. They have not been responding. Have you ever asked yourself, if a government can owe a private company all that money, what about Petrocaribe that is under the control of government? Have you not thought of what a disaster that is taking place down there? Have you not thought of the disaster and the mismanagement of how much money that is missing down there? Haven't you counted? You own a private company or that? Fallen for one that under your control?
And that was United Workers Party member Glenn Rykoffi. And the Dominican youth engage in a project dubbed Surviving Storms, Your Stories, Your Experiences, and Your Contributions. And this project was created from the stories of many resilient Dominicans who experienced natural disasters in Dominica, from Hurricane David to Hurricane Maria and everything in between. Dr. Adam Philogen, a lecturer in anthropology at Goldsmith University, London, speaking with Dr. Simon Matthew via virtual conference on Roots on Q Connections, says this hopefully will further strengthen our people to keep moving forward with even stronger roots. Dr. Philogen highlighted the objective and the motives of the project being to create a map of Dominica, which would highlight stories of survival and strengthen persons to press on.
So Surviving Storms, the CCC project, it's got two names. On the one hand, we've got this one CCC, which is Caribbean Cyclone Cartography. And then we've got Surviving Storms, as it's more popularly known, the project. So Caribbean, of course, is the region that we're in. Cyclones, of course, we're talking about storms. And cartography seems like a strange one, but that basically means making maps. And why are we interested in making maps? We realize that so much of Dominica's history, as Lennox Honeychurch and as our own experiences tell us, so much of Dominica's history is informed by the landscape itself. Waitikubuli, tall is her body. So much of the effects of hurricanes and the effects of the related hazards, landslides, river flooding, these different things, have really directed the course of Dominica's history at very, very key moments. And so for us in this project, what we wanted to do is we wanted to create a map of Dominica, almost like a Google Maps with pins on it, and you'd be able to click on the pin in a specific community, and it would bring up a story of survival, a story of historical architecture, those old time tikais that stand up so well against the storm, while sometimes concrete houses lose their roofs. You might be able to bring up a historic document, for example, that Kayla Ann has found, or we might get an oral history of somebody who's telling their story of how their farming, for instance, has been affected by storms. What we want to do is we want to create a space where we can record that information. And so Dominicans at home, overseas, and so on of different generations are able to learn from those experiences. And hopefully that's able to enable us to take on climate change more readily.
And that was a Dr. Adam Philogen, a lecturer in anthropology at Goldsmith University, London, and lead researcher of the Surviving Storms project. Meanwhile, Kayla Ann Giss, intern at Crete Caribbean Research Institute, spoke of her institute's function in the project and on preserving our history for future generations.
We do research into Caribbean history, Caribbean culture and heritage, and we preserve it in a digital format, so that it is easily accessible for academia related to Caribbean history. For example, when I was young and I had projects to do about Caribbean, everything I would get would be on Wikipedia. And then, you know, you cannot really, you know, it's people that put it there and then there's not much sources. So then Create Caribbean assimilates that information and makes it available so that anybody looking for that information, it's there collated. For example, recently we did the Cari Sealand project where we have a map of different resources in the Caribbean, very close to what Adam is trying to do with mapping the stories across Dominica. And then we also have a docu-series as well as a conversation starter for people who might want to contribute to that sort of research and that sort of topic. Speaking of Caribbean futures in the current state of climate change. So Create Caribbean joined up with the CCC project because our goals and our sites are really the same, to encourage that availability of information relating to things that happen in our lives all the time, but then we don't have records of these things. You know, as you said, oral tradition is the richest way that information is passed down, but then when the stories stop being told, the stories get lost. So then this project and Create Caribbean's goal is to preserve these stories very carefully so that generations and generations and any academic needs can be met.
And that was Akeli Angis, intern at Create Caribbean Research Institute. And we have a wealth of historical information stored in the memory banks of our elderly, and we need to cherish and catalog such information. That's according to Mrs. Delia Coffey Weeks, agricultural officer and cultural stalwart. Mrs. Weeks highlighted Dominican oral culture passed down from the elder generations, whose experiences have been passed on from one generation to the next.
The archives are very important, but not everybody has the know-how to get to the archives and to navigate their way. However, we have a wealth of information around us. The older folk, people who have had different experiences to ourselves. And if we just stop and listen, we can learn quite a lot. Because prior to Hurricane David, I had never experienced a hurricane. But people of my age would have mentioned that they had heard about the hurricanes of the 1930s. And that was information that was passed on from the older folk to the younger folk. And we have in Dominica, people don't really like to read, but for example, they will log into a program like this where they can listen, where they can get an opportunity to spell out their own particular situation at the time. And so we believe a lot in talking, maybe because we have a parrot on our flag, but our oral tradition is very, very, very strong. Mm-hmm. And we use it in our music, in our dance, in every part of our life.
Ms. Coffey Weeks cautioned that if we were to lose our oral tradition, we would be like a nation without a foundation.
And so if we were to lose our oral tradition, we would be almost like a nation without a foundation. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would ask them, where can I locate the National Archives? They don't know. But most people have a story to tell. Mm-hmm. And they will back it up by telling you, but my neighbor told me, or my grandmother told me that her great-grandmother before her told her. And that is how we are able to catalog.
And that was Mrs. Adelia Coffey Weeks, agricultural officer and cultural stalwart. And DAIC's executive director, Lizra Fabian, encourages the Dominica's public sector to support the association's major health and wellness campaign. The Dominica Health and Wellness Association, or DHWA, and the Dominica Association of Industry and Commerce, DAIC, are collaborating on a health and wellness campaign for the month of September to support all citizens and residents of Dominica in boosting their immune systems.
We also encourage the public sector to participate in this activity, as this will help us in building a resilience to the virus and foster a healthier workforce and community in Dominica. During the month of September, practitioners from the Health and Wellness Association will also host virtual activities, and they will complement the activities that are included in the challenges. All are encouraged to join in these, as it will increase our awareness of the opportunities that are available with our Health and Wellness Association practitioners. Again, we invite everyone to join us, the Dominica Health and Wellness Association and the Dominica Association of Industry and Commerce, on September 1st to 30th in this essential enhancement of health and wellness and vitality in the Nature Isle.
And that was the DAIC's Executive Director, Lizra Fabian. And vaccines have extended the human lifespan, especially in the 20th century, by eliminating many infectious diseases. This comes from Professor Clive Landis, a senior immunologist at UWE Open Campus, speaking at the latest UWE Open Campus COVID-19 Vaccines Myths and Misinformation Virtual Press Conference. In this presentation, Professor Landis has stated that COVID-19 vaccines provide robust B-cell and T-cell immune responses and says the risk-benefit ratio is always being monitored as things progress. This information is hazardous to your health, and while it is used with a destructive or divisive intent, it can also turn into a lethal weapon when it comes to public health.
Vaccines have extended the human lifespan, especially in the 20th century, by eliminating many infectious diseases. COVID-19 vaccines generate robust B-cell and T-cell immune responses. Safe and effective COVID-19 vaccines have been approved by the WHO and health regulatory agencies in 2020 and 2021. The risk-benefit ratio is continuously monitored by regulators as they move through the regulatory process. In due course, you know, other vaccines will receive full regulatory approval. On the whole issue of vaccinations, some of the horrors that happened on Black and Caribbean populations, which underpin a lot of skepticism and hesitancy of Western medicine in the Caribbean. Of course, the misinformation and disinformation surrounding vaccines. Disinformation is designed to harm. It's deliberate.
And that was Professor Clive Landis. And the Caribbean Democrat Union, or CDU, in partnership with the Westminster Foundation for Democracy, WFD, discussed the politics of climate change in the Caribbean. It was revealed that the youth are generally dissatisfied with the current action of political parties and are eager to see more robust, decisive actions on climate change, and noted that the youth believe political parties are taking a piecemeal to tokenistic approach to the issue rather than the inclusive and transformative approach required to make Caribbean countries more resilient. The importance of political leadership in building trust in scientific knowledge, particularly as it relates to climate change and its devastating impact, along with the importance of continued research in climate change at the local level and building the technical skills to complement our indigenous understanding, was key on the agenda. Dominica, as a Nature Isle, is well positioned to be fully powered by green renewable energy sources and to diversify its economy through structural and regulatory reforms. And that's why it is important for economic growth and a positive shift in mindsets towards climate change adaptation and environmental protection. The panelists included Mrs. Aisha Constable, consultant in the climate to change and adaptation in Jamaica, Mr. Bernard Ito, interim political leader, Dominica Freedom Party, and Mr. Luciano Dupuy, vice chair training at and recruitment at CYDU Dominica, and Mr. Nick Francis, secretary general, CDU St. Vincent and the Grenadines. In other news, St. Kitts and Nevis may be the first country amongst CARICOM states to make COVID-19 vaccines mandatory. The country's Prime Minister, Dr. Timothy Harris, has already encouraged employers to insist their employees get vaccinated as his government puts together a legal backing to mandate it.
We need every employer not just to say, but to insist that every employee must be vaccinated if we want to get the economy back to work, go and get vaccinated. If you want to get a job, or at least to be considered as a time when jobs are scarce, I will find it highly irresponsible for us to be recruiting people who are not vaccinated. At the same time, we are making a call for those on the job to get vaccinated. Well, you can't work with an employer if the employer says, I want people who are vaccinated on my job. You have the choice to either comply with a reasonable request or you leave the job. If it is that people are not conscious that by remaining unvaccinated for long, they are jeopardizing the health of other people in the workplace, they are jeopardizing the recovery of the country, then we certainly will have to look there. I was asked when we will do it and whether we are considering. My government has always said, and I have always said, that when it comes to matters that are critical to the survival of the state, the government must not take any option off the table.
Also in other news, UK Foreign Office Minister James Cleverly says the government is skeptical about the Taliban's commitments on human rights. 10 members of one family killed following U.S. drone strike in Kabul, UN, will ask Taliban to ensure safe passage for Afghans trying to leave.
The evacuation process using Kabul airport has now come to a close. We are, of course, still working through that repatriation and evacuation effort. And that will be done with regional partners, both neighboring countries and countries in the region. That's what we're moving on to next, to make sure that the people who still need to get out of Afghanistan have an ability to do so. And at every level of government, we will be working with our international contacts to try and facilitate the maximum number of routes out that we can negotiate.
And that's the morning news. Here's a recap of the headlines. United Workers Party Glenroy Coffee claims the alleged EC $18 million owed to Rubis Oil Company by the DLP government raises grave concerns about its management of the state-controlled Venezuelan Petrocaribe Oil Company. And St. Kitts and Nevis may be the first country amongst CARICOM states to make COVID-19 vaccines mandatory. Foreign Office Minister James Cleverly says the 10 members of one family were killed following a U.S. drone strike in Kabul, and the U.N. says it would ask the Taliban to ensure safer passage for Afghans trying to leave. The news was brought to you for the very kind compliments of Digicel Abuja presenter Hassan Robinson.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, where...